As well. Fantastic. Hey, this is the final week of our Step In series, which we've been going through for the past couple of months. And it's been a fantastic opportunity to explore the mission of God and what that means for us. Now, today it is the last week and it is going to be a little bit interactive. And I know some people don't like interactive, and so I apologize if that's you. But hopefully you can find at least a moment to be able to reflect for yourself things that are going on in your heart and what God has been stirring up in you. So as I start, I'm just going to ask, can a couple of people come and just hand these out for me? Oh, thanks, Alana. Thanks, Suzanne. Awesome. And so, yeah, they're just handouts that will help us. We'll go through them during the sermon as we go together. But this is just to help us focus and reflect on some of the things that are going on during this series. I hope you found it to be encouraging and inspiring as we've gone through. I know talking to many people, it has been the case for a lot of people. So hopefully this has inspired you, not just in your mission giving, not your mission doing, but also just in your normal life of experiencing life with Jesus and being on mission with him as we go in our daily lives. And if this has been helpful, there's also a whole bunch of resources that you can access that I have put on our church website with links to a whole bunch of apps and documents and things that you can do to help you progress in these different areas. There will be a link to the book if you want to actually go deeper and read the book that this is all based on yourself. There's a link to that on the website. There's also a workbook. And if you want to spend time reflecting even deeper on your own or maybe with your small group, it has lots of questions that you can look at and has ideas of how to make these things more practical and applicable, you can go through that workbook yourself as well. But today I'm just going to kind of recap and summarize the whole series, but give us opportunity to reflect on the different aspects of the different topics that we covered throughout the last few weeks. And as we do that, I'm going to ask a question of, okay, but how? How do we actually do these things? It's all well and good to say, hey, we're going to participate in the mission of God. Okay, but how? How can we do this? And while I'm not going to be claiming to giving you the perfect, here's the simple formula of how to do all these things, I know that sometimes in some of these conversations, there's been a question of how. And I just want to give us some ideas to get our juices flowing. And you might come up with even better ideas of ways to do that. And I'd be excited for that as well. But just as a reminder of the topic of how we started off by talking about God's mission overall. And I talked about how God's mission is about renewing and restoring the world to himself, because God had a design for how the world should be, and through our sin and brokenness, it went away from that. And God has been on mission to restore and renew people back to what he designed and back towards himself. And as he renews people, he then sends us back out to go and participate in his mission to help others be renewed towards Jesus. And perhaps one of the key ideas that I hope you caught onto in that week was this, that God is already at work. God is already at work. And this just relieves a lot of pressure for me. And it also encourages me, because it's not God goes, hey, Ben, it's on you to save the whole world, or it's on you to save the entire suburb of Como. No, he says, hey, Ben, I'm doing stuff. Do you want to come and join me? And that's a total mind shift for me as I think about participating in his mission. God is already at work in the lives of people around us. His Holy Spirit is doing things in our lives, in your lives, and the people's lives outside as well. Which is great, because participation means it's not just on me. I get to come alongside the God of the universe. I get to come alongside God, who has the power to do all this, and realize, yeah, okay, I don't have much to offer, but God invites me to be part of it, which I think is exciting. I get to do this with God. And so we get to do this as people who are Holy Spirit-led, people who pray, people who live, and people who share. And if this is the first time you've seen this circle, this is the way that we sort of just summarize the whole series, that at the core of all of this, of participating in this mission, is being led by the Holy Spirit. And then as we participate in rhythms and practices that help us participate, we end up praying, living, and sharing. And we've gone through that over the last few weeks. And if we start with being Holy Spirit-led, it's supposed to be the normal way that Christians live. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all believers, and that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, transforming us, renewing us from the inside out. And as we step into God's mission with the Holy Spirit, which is God, he's part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. And the Holy Spirit is also the one who is at work in other people's lives. When we say God is already at work, the Holy Spirit is out there influencing people, speaking to them. And so when we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in his mission and show us where he's at work, that's really easy for him to point out and go, oh, here I am, here I am, here I am. and the work that he's already doing around us. Now, being led by the Holy Spirit doesn't require a special, extra special level of faith. It's not like you become a Christian and then you get to the next level, uber Christian, and then Holy Spirit-led Christian. No, no, you become a believer, you receive the Holy Spirit. We get that already. Our task is to listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow his leading, to listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the difficult things for us to do, because either we've drowned him out in so much noise or we haven't learned how to hear him. Do you remember the radio I had in the corner here? And we talked about tuning in to hear God's voice. How a radio station is always broadcasting, there's always music or words being spoken, it's always out there, but unless they tune in with our radio, we're not going to hear what's being said. And it's a bit like the same with communication. Like if I'm supposed to be in a conversation with you and I'm not paying attention to what you're saying, I'm not going to hear you, am I? If I'm trying to talk to you, Kath, but I'm really secretly listening to what Halil's saying and I'm trying to hear what he's saying on the other side of the room, I'm not really listening to you, am I? And it's the same when we pray and we talk to God and we try to hear his voice. If I'm not paying attention to what God's saying, I'm going to miss it. And so we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, which brings us to my first okay question. Okay. But how do I hear from God? And it seems to be a common question that has come up many times. Like, how do I actually hear from God? And I'm going to spend a little bit of extra time in this section today because I don't think I got very practical on how to hear from God when we touched on that. And so probably a chunk of today will be on this. But at the same time, I'm going to fly through it because this is probably like a long whole sermon in itself that really should be covered properly, which we might do another time. But today, how do I hear from God? I'm going to share some key steps in learning to hear and recognize his voice. I have borrowed this language from a friend of mine, Pastor Tim P.S., and he's a wonderful guy who helped me understand some of this stuff. And I'm not going to go through the passage now, but it is based on Acts 11, where Peter heard from God through the lowering of the sheet and the vision that he received about going to the Gentiles. But the first principle about learning to hear from God is to keep showing up in prayer. To keep showing up in prayer is to be people who are praying. Because the prayer is important. Being in prayer is being in regular contact with God. We need to spend time in prayer. And when we regularly pray, we are engaging with God, putting ourselves in a position to hear him. But we can't just pray and just finish at the speaking. We need to spend time pausing as well and going, God, are you saying anything to me right now? But if we are people who are regularly engaged in prayer, we're going to be far more positioned to be in a ready place to hear what God is saying. So the first thing is to keep showing up in prayer. Spend some time praying, speaking, and listening. Second one is this, to start with what God has already said in Scripture. And this is about reading your Bible. Now, you might be going, Ben, these are just basic stuff, you know, pray, read your Bible. Yeah, but really, when we read our Bible and we spend time poring over the Word, not just going through, I had to read my Bible and tick a box today. When we spend time examining who is God and also what is God saying to me right now, we start to learn and get a knowledge and a baseline of how God speaks and how he can be calling out to us in our reading. And as you read it, you learn about who God is, you learn about his values, you learn about his language and his tone, because God is consistent. And the way we see him speaking in Scripture is going to be consistent with how we hear him speaking today. And so as you read, you get familiar with the kinds of things he says. And you get familiar with the ways that he says them, which helps us to then recognize his voice when he speaks today. So we need to be reading the Bible to be able to get on board with that. Amen. I love it. So, which leads me to think the question, okay, what is your plan for reading the Bible at the moment? Do you have a Bible reading plan? Because if you have no plan, we're effectively planning to not read it, right? So what are you doing to plan to read the Bible? You don't have to sign up for a Bible in 1 year course. Those can be quite long and have a lot of reading in a day. But do something that helps you remember to get in a pattern of reading so that you can explore this stuff. You can find Bible reading plans that last for 3 days, and that can get you started into the habit, right? Jump on the YouVersion Bible app and go to the plans tab at the bottom and you'll find a gazillion Bible reading plans that will help you on your way. Find a way to get into reading the Bible, because then there is how we see God speaking. And as we learn to see how God's speaking, we get to see how Jesus spoke to people in person in the New Testament. We see how the Holy Spirit spoke to the early church. We see the things God said to people and how he approaches people and how he encourages people as we read all the stories throughout all of Scripture. And as we do that, we can learn what God sounds like. Now, all these things are going to layer on top of each other. So we'd be showing up in prayer. We'd be reading our Bible, The next one is pay attention to what is getting your attention. Pay attention to what's getting your attention. And the reason for this is maybe God is trying to get your attention about something at the moment, and maybe he's throwing things up in your face and going, here, Ben, point, look at this. And sometimes we go, it's just this thing that's popping up all the time. I'm just trying to ignore it. But sometimes we find a particular idea or concept just keeps coming across our path. And it's worth us asking the question, is that God? Is God trying to get my attention something right now? And so if there's stuff that's getting your attention at the moment, just pay attention. Pause and go, is that God trying to say something to me right now? It's not going to always be, but it's worth asking the question. If you keep seeing something repeating and coming up over and over, pause and say, maybe God, are you asking me something here right now? Next is to recognize the different ways that God speaks. There's many ways God speaks. He speaks through his word, which is why it's important to be reading our Bibles, to be studying it, to memorize it, but not just to read it for the sake of reading it or going through a Bible plan, because Ben said that 2 minutes ago, but rather to read it to say, what is God saying to me right now? So we can hear God speaking through his word. We can also hear God speaking through sermons. Now, I'm not saying I'm God, and I'm not saying I'm his perfect mouthpiece, but any sermon you hear, whether it's here at Como or online or visiting another church, God might be trying to get your attention in that sermon, or he might be trying to say something to you through what the preacher is saying. So look for what God might be saying to you whenever you're listening to a sermon. God speaks through other people. You know, when some people come along, trusted Christian friends who can give you advice or counseling or encouragement or words of knowledge, people who come and give us challenges that go, oh, well, that maybe caused me to pause for a moment and realize maybe there's something I need to think about, to call us out for things. Maybe people are praying for us and they get an image or a word or something to share with us that has come from God. Maybe God's giving them something to say to us in that moment. God can speak to us through other people. So we need to pay attention to what our trusted Christian friends are saying to us, especially if it's lining up with what we're reading in Scripture and what's getting our attention and what we are hearing when we're praying. Because God can speak through people. God can also speak through his Holy Spirit. Like sometimes his Holy Spirit will speak directly to us and through impressions or feelings or pictures or thoughts or audible voices. I've never had the audible voice, but I know many people who have. And often we dismiss these things as our own mind or just our own intuition or our own thoughts. But we can't ignore that might be Holy Spirit inspiration. You know, there's times we get a thought or an idea or a picture and maybe it just came from nowhere. Or maybe we have an aha moment when all these ideas and concepts just sort of suddenly fit together. It might be the Holy Spirit revealing something to us. But then there's another question in there, I guess, of how do I tell, is that the Holy Spirit or is that me and just my own thinking? And that's a tension we have to manage and think through. But it's us learning to recognize when it is the Holy Spirit. It's about us learning, you know, how does God speak? What does he sound like? What is his tone? What is his language? Which is why it's important to be in prayer and be reading Scripture so these things can all help inform us. I mentioned earlier that the Holy Spirit has been poured out in all believers, and if the Holy Spirit is in us, then he can surely speak from within us. And that's where that tension is. Is that me or is that the Holy Spirit? Because often we can dismiss this as our own thoughts or our own ideas, our own emotions. But I think if we're paying attention, maybe we can learn to hear the Holy Spirit speaking from within. Which leads me to thinking about the next step on how to hear from God. Discern what you think you are hearing. Discern what you think you are hearing. Whether we think God is speaking to us via his Holy Spirit within or through other people or what we're hearing in sermons, what we're reading in Scripture, how do we know if that is God speaking to us? Because to be honest, some people have said things in the name of Jesus that sound pretty crazy. And we go, not sure if that is. But that's why we need to go through discernment. And so here's a couple of questions we can ask if we're going to discern if it's God speaking. First is this, would Jesus say this? As we read Scripture and we see God speaking to people, as we see Jesus interacting with people, is this the kind of thing you could see Jesus saying? Is it the way that Jesus speaks? Is it the way God has spoken to people in the past? Can you see this being replicated in Scripture? Does it align with what we know of God? Does it line up with precedents that we've already seen in Scripture in the past when he's spoken to us? Does it match what we've learned about his character and his language and the way he speaks? So first we're checking, does this sound like God's voice? Because if it doesn't sound like him, maybe it's not. Second thing we can do when we're discerning is go, does this align with what other people are saying? And what I mean here is, are other people confirming this? Are other people hearing the same stuff? Because all people who put trust in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit. And so I believe we can discern things in community. We don't have to rely on one person's theology. We don't have to rely on one person to be the leader and go, I believe God said this. And everyone goes, sure. No, let's discern together as a community. We need to be accountable to one another. Because if it's just one lone ranger saying this stuff, that's not accountability. That's dangerous. If we're just following one person, believing that that's a cult, right? That's why we discern together and we all hear the Holy Spirit so that we can go together and say, I believe as a community, this is what God is saying. I mean, I've found whenever God has been speaking to me personally, it's never been in isolation. It's never been in a brand new or novel way. It's never been in one way either. It always lines up with what I've seen in Scripture. It always seems to be something that's getting my attention over and over. It lines up with what I know of God and what I believe the things he would say. And then often when I bring it to others for discernment, it quickly is easy to see, is this God or not? And once we've discerned, okay, I think this is what God is saying to me, then we need to respond and obey or to believe what it is he's saying. Because when God speaks, it's up to us to respond to that. It demands a response. And if he's telling us to do something, we need to obey that. We need to go and do the things he's telling us. Or if he's telling us something truth about us, we need to believe that. Maybe God's saying something like, I love you. You are valuable. You are my child. And you need to take that on and believe that and actually learn to know that. But if he's saying something to you, you need to respond. You can't just leave it, cool, God spoke. No, let's respond to it. If you look at your handouts for a moment, you'll see on that front page there's a question that says things like, taking a moment to consider, is God saying anything to me at the moment? And I just want you to take a moment to think, hey, is there anything that's drawing my attention right now? Or is there something I've been finding in Scripture? Or is there something that I feel like he's saying to me? Just have a think and just write it on the front page there of your handout. This is just for you. Just take a moment and go, do I think God is saying anything to me right now? Just take a moment for that. It's interesting for us to take a moment to pause and consider these things. Sometimes we just move through life so fast that we don't even think about it. But I'm encouraged to see so many people writing down and go, I think God might be saying something here. Unless you're just writing bacon, eggs, writing a shopping list, just to make me feel better. But I hope you are hearing something from God. But as we progress more and more through this, and as we practice this, we grow stronger in being able to recognize God's voice. And as we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, we learn to look for where he's speaking and nudging us as people so that we can participate in his mission. I'm going to jump ahead to prayer. And after we talked about being Holy Spirit led, we talked about prayer and the importance of it. And we talked about how prayer matters and that we all know we need to pray, yet we get familiar and complacent sometimes with praying because it's just a thing we do when we say grace, or it's a thing we do when we're at church, or it's a thing we do when we start and close meetings. Sometimes we can just get so complacent that it's a normal part and we let it just slip from our day when we get busy. But prayer is the opportunity for us to come before our King, to come before the Creator of the universe, to come before our Savior. And that can seem daunting at first. I'm coming before a king with stories of kings not liking people doing that. But here's the cool thing. Not only are we coming before our king in prayer, we're coming before a king who loves us deeply and has made a way for us to come to him personally through his son. And so for us, we get to come before this incredible God in prayer. What a privilege. And the issue for us is to be able to get into a habit and a pattern of prayer and worship so that it's not just in special moments or when things are going dire for us, but that we're actually in a regular daily rhythm of spending time in prayer with God. So it's about finding rhythms of prayer that actually fit for our life, patterns that work and stick for the ways that we're wired and help us to regularly turn our attention to God. You might remember me talking about how all the traditional ways don't work for me, so I found weird ways for me to connect with God. And so the question here for our okay but how is, okay, how do I establish a rhythm of prayer? I don't have the perfect formula for you because it's going to be you to find that. But we need to intentionally make time for it and find ways to do it. And so here's a few examples of ways that you could try and add prayer to your day. And if anything sticks out, maybe chop it on your handout to remind you. Maybe you could go prayer walking. Prayer walking is when you walk around your neighborhood or your home or your office or somewhere, wherever you are, around the park, and you just pray for the people in your area or pray for the things that are on your heart while you're walking. And as you're walking, you're praying and speaking the words of life of God and prayer over that area, which is an amazing thing to do in the spiritual sense. Maybe you could turn to listening to worship music in the car while you're driving to work, while you're driving here and there. And when you drive, just let the worship wash over you as you go. Maybe engage in the worship. Now, when I say engage in the worship while driving, don't drive like this with your hand in the air and your eyes closed. Bad plan. But, you know, engage in what are the words saying of the truths about our King? What is it saying as it speaks over us? Maybe you could, at the end of the day, just spend time listing three things you're grateful for. What are three things that happened today that I'm grateful for? Or what are three things in my life I'm glad that God has provided for me? And then you can spend time thanking God for them. Maybe you could take your lunchtime at work and spend time praying then. If you've got the time to get away from your desk, maybe you can spend some time in prayer and talk about to God with the things that are going on in your day, about the issues you're facing, the things that are on your mind. Maybe you can find a regular scripture reading time and spend time praying as you do that. Maybe you could have a regular prayer catch-up time with people, you know, getting accountable with each other, because when there's that pressure, and I say pressure, but it's a good pressure, of actually meeting up with people and you've both agreed to do it, it becomes a little bit more like, I'm going to do it. If I just say, I'm going to pray at 9 o'clock tomorrow when I get to work, I'm going to get here at 9 o'clock, I'm going to open my email, it's going to distract me, it might pull me away, but if I've engaged in the idea, I'm going to pray with someone when I catch up at this time, it's probably more likely to happen. I mean, one of the things that helps me to be praying and accountable with others is as an eldership, we pray every Tuesday morning. We gather on Zoom and we just spend time praying for each other and for the church. It's a great way to help keep a prayer time regular with other people. If none of these have stuck with you and you can't think of a way to pray, do a Google search. Search ways to pray. Be discerning as you read them. Find articles from trusted people. Find the sources we trust. Maybe don't ask ChatGPT. He'll just pull every idea he's ever seen and make it sound good. But there are millions of ideas out there. Find a reputable person that has written about how to pray that seems to jump out with you. So ask yourself, what is one rhythm or prayer and worship that I could maybe establish or strengthen this week? What is one rhythm of prayer and worship? And that can be on your handout as well. Take a moment to think about what is one way I could engage in prayer this week to help me establish a rhythm. And as you think of ideas, this is great for us to just think through how could I maybe do this myself? Which leads us to the idea of living out our faith. And when we talked about live, we talked about how living God's mission helps show God's love in practical ways, and it makes his love visible. And we talked about doing it through showing hospitality and care. Now, this is more than just doing nice stuff for people or doing stuff because I have a servant heart and I love doing things. It's an intentional way of ensuring people are seen, and that as they are seen, they know that they are valued and they experience God's love, and that they know that they are loved by God and you. And so that was quite challenging for some people. But we asked the question, okay, how do I live out and make God's love visible? I think the way we get started in doing this is about learning to actually see people. Learning to see people and respond to what we see. And when I say learning to see people, there are people who go unseen in our lives all the time. There are people who go unseen in our society. And if only people would see them, maybe they could get some care and love that they need. Maybe they'll get some spiritual need or physical need met. So maybe you can start off really easy in this. Maybe start with your friends. Start with people you know. Maybe make a meal for someone who's doing it tough. That's easy to do. Or maybe sit with someone who's going through a lot and don't give them all the answers. Just sit with them. Let people know that they are seen, that their struggles are noticed, and that they are loved. And once you've got some practice in doing that with people you know and you're comfortable with, maybe you could start to expand it, to try and see see the people who are on the margins or the people in our society who are often ignored, especially people who are not like us, you know, people who are not in our circle of familiar and safe people. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I actually saw this play out here at our church. After a service, there was a crowd of people still here. There was still heaps of people talking, which was fantastic. And I was up the front here talking to someone on the stage. And I looked up and I saw there was a guy standing just outside that door. And he was a stranger. He looked like he'd been standing there for a little while. But no one was approaching him. No one was going up to him. No one was talking to him. He was very much unseen, standing right there. And I excused myself from my conversation and made my way out the door and went and spoke to him. And he was just a guy who's doing it tough. And he was wondering if we could help him get a feed. And so I was able to grab some of the feed at Ford Food that comes in and give him some food. But he was definitely on the outside. He was a guy who was standing there hoping to be seen. People who are unseen are not going to come up and stand in your face and go, look at me. They're going to stand on the side and hope that someone notices. But that guy needed to be seen in that moment. He was on the outer and on the margins. He didn't want to come into the building. He needed to be seen. The point wasn't to make you feel bad about that situation. No one was intentionally being cruel by not talking to him. But he was just unseen. He was just a man who was easy to miss. We need to be on the lookout for these unseen people. Not let our biases and fears get in the way of seeing them at all. Like people who are barely staying afloat. People who are drowning in the cost of living. People who are sitting outside the supermarket. People who are homeless in our community, walking around with all their belongings in a borrowed shopping trolley. Sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes people who are unseen look like they're doing okay. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, who are the people I need to see today? There's so many unseen people out there, so we need to ask God to open our eyes to see them and then perhaps equip us to show hospitality and care towards them. And so I want us to ask the question of ourselves today, who around us is easy to not see? Who around us is easy to not see? Like, who in my street or in my workplace or in my family or my social world might be isolated and need to be seen? You know, the person who just always keeps to themselves and never opens up because they're just going through a lot and don't want to open up about it. Maybe they need to be seen. Who might I need to comfort because they're in loss or grief at this moment? Who do I know that might be overlooked or feel unwelcome or feel unseen? Is there someone who I could welcome into my home or life? And what is one practical action I could maybe take this week? Let's spend a minute just thinking about that for a moment. Is there anyone who I know who is not easy to see? And then we came to last week's topic of sharing. The idea of using our words, using our story to share the good news of Jesus with people. Okay, but how do I actually share Jesus? I did allude to this a little bit last week, but I think that it's not about memorizing a presentation or having a script ready to go. That's not the solution. But I think it's about finding moments and opportunities to share in respectful and gentle ways where we can speak up and share our stories. And we can start with the people who are already in front of us, the people of peace, and be ready to go deeper when that door is opened. And this is always going to be contextual, but as a start, maybe like in your ordinary conversations, you could be revealing, hey, I'm a Christian. Maybe talk about something God has done in your life or just casually refer to the fact you're at church. Or maybe you could ask a meaningful spiritual question when someone is sharing something. Or maybe you could share a part of your story that engages in Christian faith. And then at the next level, if someone gets interested in that or even asks you directly, maybe you can then share your 90-second testimony of how Jesus has made a difference in my life. Or you could use the three circles example of how to share the gospel. I'll touch on those in a moment. And if someone wants to explore deeper, maybe then you could invite them to read the Bible with you. Maybe you could just say, hey, would you like to read the Bible with us? And we can go through it. And maybe you could use the Discovery Bible Study method to do it. It has zero preparation. All it needs is a Bible. And it's Bible-led. Now, some of these practical tools I'm about to talk about, I have put on our website. And there's a gazillion links on there that can help you lead to some of these. There's the website, you can go to the front page, it's about halfway down, click on it, or you can go directly by putting Step In on the end of the website there, comobaptist.org.au/step-in, or there's a QR code on the back of your handout, you can scan it, it will take you straight there. But there's a few of these things on there right now, but for example, on there is how to do a 90-second story. And the 90-second story, if you remember from last week, is just three parts. What was my life before I met Jesus? How did I meet Jesus? And how is my life different now? It's just a simple way to say, this is who I was, this is how I met him, and this is the difference it has made in my life, because that is a real story, using those three parts. And that's a really easy way to try and put a story together that we can share together. The other one that we talked about last week was the Three Circles gospel story message. And I know that that was very small to see on the screen. I've got a printout down the back on the table there in the middle of the foyer that has it in a booklet form. So you can actually go through each individual step and learn how to share that gospel story. There's also an app you can use and have it ready on your phone. It's called the Life on Mission app, available on both types of phones. And it literally just goes through the whole, it's that same photo that I've just showed you. And you can swipe it as you go and go, hey, here's the gospel story. And we can talk through it together. And it has explanations of what to say and what the Bible says at each part. And again, there's links to that on the website that I've made. Feel free to search for the words Life on Mission in the App Store or just go to the website and find a link you can click on and it'll take you straight there. But these are just tools that you can use to be able to share the gospel with people. If you have no idea where to start, this just helps you have a place to start and a place to go from. Cool. The other thing I talked about there was the Discovery Bible Study method. And we have talked about that in our church before, but it's a way for us to just explore scripture and just go, hey, if you want to read the Bible with me, let's do this together. And it works well one-on-one. It can work in a small group as well, maybe four or five people. But you just choose a passage, and if you're struggling to pick one, you can search DBM passages online, and there's lots of ways you can find passages. But you just pick a passage or a story, and then the process is to go through and ask questions of the text. What is this saying to me at the moment? What does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about people? What is standing out to me? What is getting my attention in this story? And it's a way for us to go through and do that. And I've put the resource of how to do a Discovery Bible method on the website. There's also some printouts on the back there for people who like a piece of paper. But it's a really simple process to read the Bible with someone and just say, what is God saying to us in this moment? And the cool thing is there's no perfect answers. It's about where am I right now? What do I think God is saying to me in this moment, in this context? And it's a great way to introduce people to the Bible. It's a great way to go deeper when you're a 40 billion year old Christian as well. It works at both ends. But the point I wanted to share here is that there are tools aplenty out there. And this is just three of them. But there's ways for us to share our story. So maybe we can pause for a moment and think through, how can I share my story with people around me? So on the handout, there's actually three questions there. But how can I share my story? Is there anyone I can think of who might be a person of peace? Remember, we talked about people of peace as being people who are receptive to the things of God. They're people who like us, who listen to us, who are welcoming us into their world. People who are ready to hear what we have to say about our faith. They're not going to necessarily become Christians straight away, but they are people who are willing and open to hearing this stuff. So is there anyone I can think of who might be a person of peace? And then maybe what's a practical step I can take this week to help me share Jesus with someone? Like, it's all great in theory to think, yeah, I've got a person of peace. I could maybe write my 90-second story. What are you going to do this week to push towards that sort of space? I'll give you a moment to think through that. So now we've gone through and we've recapped all the different things we talked about so far. And I think now that we've recapped it all and we've remembered all the stuff we talked about, I wonder if this is the part where we ask, okay, so where am I in all of this? Where am I in all of this? I'd love us to take a moment to think about the Habitus ring for a moment and do a little self-audit. Now, I want to emphasize that this is not a report card or an evaluation of how well you're doing at being a Christian. It's merely a tool for us to go, which one of these rhythms is currently shaping me the most? And so I encourage you to be honest with yourself as you do this. It's literally just a tool to say, hey, where am I at? What maybe can I put more focus on? So don't feel great about yourself or bad about yourself where you land. But on the handout, there's a little audit bit. I'd love you to rate yourself in each of those four spaces, being Holy Spirit-led, about praying and rhythms of prayer, about living out and making God's love visible, and sharing your story. And rate it from five, being like, I am so good at this, it's amazing and incredible, down to one being, you know, I struggle to do this. So give yourself a moment, just tick those boxes of where you think you're at in each of those. And as you do, then notice, okay, which one is my strongest rhythm? That's really easy to identify. It's the one that got the highest score. Which one needs more attention, or which one had the lowest score? And just think through for a second why that might be. What has helped you to be so strong in the one that was the strongest for you, and what maybe needs more attention there? And then maybe you can also think, where have I grown the most in this series, or what have I been most encouraged in? And then also, what have I been challenged in the most? So I'll give you a moment to give yourself a little self-audit, find the box that ticks for you. But then, here's the fun one, maybe turn to the person next to you and share, my strongest one was this. And the one I'm struggling in is that. Or that's if you're comfortable to share it. But the idea is to now articulate to someone, this is what I've learned. This is what I think God has said to me. So take a moment to rate yourself. Not rate yourself, but, you know, give yourself a score, and then turn to the person next to you and maybe share where you think your strengths are. I hope that little exercise gives you an idea of maybe spaces that you can just press into and go, I'm leading really, really well into this because this is a strong pattern or rhythm for me. Or maybe, hey, this is an area I need to think about a little bit more and try to maybe find ways to engage in this practice. And as I do, maybe I can learn and grow new things. So take that with you and pray about it and ask God to help you find opportunities to grow in those areas that you found weakest and strongest as well. But as we think about the ways that we want to grow, nothing is going to happen unless we actually make a commitment to ourselves and God about what we're going to do in these areas. So the last one is, okay, what am I actually going to do? And let's make it simple. Let's not try and fix all four areas at once. Just pick one that you want to work on. It might have been the weakest one. It might have been one of the others. But just pick one of the four areas. And on the last page of your handout, select that area. I've got little tick boxes for you. Make it easy. But then choose one area that's standing out to you the most. Like which one is drawing your attention, and think through, okay, the person or place that God is drawing my attention to is this. My next step is going to be this. One practice or tool I'll engage in is this. And what this is about is actually trying to place the things we've been learning into real life situations. Maybe it's, I have really got a picture in my mind right now of that coworker that seems to be asking questions sometimes about my faith. Maybe I'm going to this week find a way to engage with them in a meaningful conversation about God. Or maybe it's, I have a picture in my mind right now of the person who sits outside of Audi whenever I walk in. Maybe I'm going to make a commitment today to actually go and engage with them and make sure that they know that they are seen and help them in some way, not just like hand off some money, but to actually engage with them and talk with them. Or maybe you're thinking, hey, I'm just really thinking right now, this week as I walk the dog on a Tuesday night, I'm going to be spending time in prayer for my community. Mate, just think about ways that you can do that. And that's why that last bit down there is make a specific action of I will do something at this time in a location. It's just a really easy way to make a specific commitment. So take a moment to make a commitment to doing something practical this week. Like what is one easy action? Make it easy to do as well. If you say, I'm going to go out and share food with the entire city of Perth, you ain't going to do that this week. Make it simple. Make it achievable. Feel free to keep writing as I talk, but you know, we've been going through this whole Step In series. Stepping into God's mission is what I think we have been renewed for. It's what we've been renewed and restored into. It's what we're called to do. And God has reconciled us to himself, and he is renewing us and transforming us and shaping us. And so we need to find those patterns that continue to do that work. We talked a lot about how we be transformed and how we find these rhythms and practices and finding new habits and ways to make that habits or string become alive for us. But here's the thing, it's not going to come all at once. It's not like we're going to come out of this afternoon and go, far out, I'm now top bottle number 5 on being Holy Spirit led, praying, living and sharing. Because this happens over time. Transformation doesn't come with a quick fix. Transformation doesn't come with catchy slogans like just step in. I mean, you can read inspirational books, you can find formulas, but none of that is going to make long lasting change outside of, hey, those 2 weeks were great to think about stepping in. No, transformation comes slowly and patiently through finding rhythms that we can engage in and do, because this is not just about having a quick fix in our lives. It's about forming new habits, and habits are only formed through consistent practice. Learning to listen to God's voice takes time. Developing rhythms of prayer will take time. Learning to see people takes time, and learning to speak about Jesus takes time. Formation happens slowly through practice and doing. And let's be honest, when you step out and try this stuff, you might get it wrong the first time or the second time or the 80th time. And that's okay. If you get it wrong, don't let that stop you. Use that as a learning moment and go, what went wrong? How did I get that wrong? What blew up in my face? What could I do different next time? And then try again. And you know what? Maybe you walk out and the first time you try it, you get it right. And that's okay too. But the point is, step out and try. If we don't step out and try, if we don't engage in these habits, we're only going to stay stagnant or even worse, go backwards. So I encourage you to try these things. The key invitation I believe God is offering us is that fancy slogan is to step in. It's an easy thing to step into and participate because God is already at work in his mission and he invites us to participate. And as he does it, he leads us in his Holy Spirit. And then we participate by praying and by living and by sharing. And when he shows us where he's at work, we get to step in and join him. And I think that's a fantastic invitation. As we go today, I've thrown a lot at you. Those handouts, take them, fold them up, put them in your pocket. Don't leave them on the chairs. Take them with you. And don't just leave it in the bottom of your bag. Maybe take it with you and reflect on it during the week. That's for you to reflect on personally. I've also thrown again all those handouts on the website. If you want them, there's some on the back table if you need them too. Feel free to grab those and use those to help you go deeper in this. But I hope and pray that this series has been helpful for you as we learn about participating in God's mission. Shall we pray together? Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what we have learned over this series. God, we thank you for the gift of that book that has been able to shape our reading of Scripture and what it is that you have been speaking to us. God, as we've spent time reflecting today, I pray the things that people have been noticing and been paying attention to, the things we believe, God, you are saying to us, God, will we be paying attention and respond to that? God, help us learn to how to hear your voice so that we might be led by your Spirit. God, help us to find the patterns and rhythms to engage in that help us to engage in regular times of prayer. God, help us to see the people that are unseen in our world. Help us to see the people that are unseen, that the people that you want us to reach out and make your love visible towards. And God, bring opportunities for us to share our faith in these coming weeks. And God, when those opportunities arise, would you give us the words to speak? Help us to be ready and prepared to give an answer for our faith in a gentle and respectful way. God, above all, we just pray that this would help us to draw closer to you as we participate in your mission. Thank you for the renewal and the restorative work you are doing in our lives. Help us to share that with others so they might experience it too. As we do that, may we step in Jesus' name. Amen.